Hi, folks, and thank you for listening to the SearchSAP.com podcast. I'm Courtney Bjorlund, news editor on the site. One of the hottest topics right now is maintenance and support. SAP's announcement this summer that it would increase its maintenance fees from 17% to 22% of net licensing fees over the next 4 years has drawn plenty of attention. But as customers continue to adjust to the changes, there are ways to save money or at least some frustration. That's according to Ray Wang, who is Vice President Principal Analyst at Forrester Research based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. To say Ray's been following the maintenance issue is an understatement, as he has become synonymous with challenging SAP customers to push their vendor for more value. Today he's sharing his tips with us for renegotiating maintenance contracts. So could you start out by sort of setting the scene for us? What's the mood out there right now when it comes to maintenance and support contracts, and especially when it comes to SAP?
Well, you know, like all customers, everyone's looking for ways to save money. And in IT cost, maintenance is probably one of the biggest areas out there. And so with the announcement of enterprise support, I would say that, you know, when we talked about 800 clients, maybe 750 are really trying to find ways to reduce their maintenance spend, trying to reduce shelfware. Customers are out there in general just looking at ways to how they can reduce the overall cost, not only with maintenance, but also operating the SAP in terms of the long term.
Great. And you've helped us out recently by assembling 5 different tips for negotiating a maintenance contract. And your first tip here is assemble all the relevant contract information. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, when you get into a contract negotiation, you want to make sure you're armed with the right level of information. And some of it is, you know, what do you have? How many licenses do you have? How they're being used and what's being deployed? What shelfware? What's going to be deployed, you know, 2 months from now, 2 years from now, or may never be deployed because you got it for free and you might not get around to it. There's another aspect as to walking into a conversation around maintenance, which is really, you know, what have you used this maintenance for? You know, how often do you call for support? How often do you set up support packages? What are you doing about your upgrade plan? Do you call much for technical assistance? And what you really want to do is figure out how much you're spending and what you're getting in terms of value. Now, most customers are going to find that, you know, if you call, you're spending about, you know, $500,000 to $1 million a year, and you call for, you know, 5 or 10 times a year, then these support calls are going to be really expensive because they're anywhere from $100K to $200K a pop. So you want to figure out and be able to say, hey, we're not using this support very much, so why are we paying this much for maintenance? It might be the other case where you did an implementation and you are, you know, calling SAP all the time, you're seeking a lot of technical support and knowledge, and you're getting a lot of value. But this is the important question, you know, get all that information together.
Great. And your second tip here is, you talked about that a little bit in your last answer, but breaking down the total cost of your shelfware, how should customers go about doing that?
You know, this is important because when you're thinking about shelfware, which is software licenses that are purchased and haven't been deployed, you're really taking away any kind of discount structure you got. So if you bought, for example, 1,000 user licenses and you're only using 800, basically you're paying maintenance on 200 licenses, which is, you know, about 22% in today's support fees every year on those licenses. And really, at the end of 5 years, you've paid for those licenses once in maintenance. Hopefully, you've deployed that. So it's important to figure out where you are on shelfware, because there are some concessions you might get for software that you bought you haven't deployed, and shelfware is a good part of assembling that information.
Great. And this all sounds like it should be part of your third tip, which is crafting your overall software adoption strategy.
Yep, and this comes in here where you're thinking about how you're going to tie your adoption strategy, which is really your product strategy for SAP, with your contract negotiation strategy. And this is where you're thinking about where business drivers, such as the push towards efficiency or your movement towards regulatory compliance, or what you're doing in terms of increasing and improving revenues, or doing something more strategic, how this comes back into how you're going to use licenses, when you're going to use licenses. And typically you think about this across the software ownership lifecycle. And this is selection, implementation, utilization, maintenance, and retirement of software. And then you want to think about, you know, what processes are going to be supported, what roles will use the software, you know, other alternatives to software, you know, when are you going to do the upgrades?
Right. And you also want to come to the table by knowing what all your alternatives are. So your fourth tip here is to determine all the alternatives you have. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. And this is where you pull all this together, your software option strategy with your contract negotiation strategy, and you come up with these areas where you say, we don't plan to upgrade a certain module or upgrade our certain set of divisions, so maybe we should self-support or consider third-party maintenance. Or maybe we're not doing a very good job running our environment, and maybe we should consider AMS or application management services from a system integrator or another provider. So when you're thinking about these cases, you're really thinking about, you know, what are the alternatives devoid of the specific software vendor? What are things that you have to do from a technical strategy based on your software adoption strategies?
Great. And your last tip here is very helpful. Engage your account representative at least one quarter before the contract expires. Why is that so important?
You know, you've got to set expectations with your account reps, and these contracts are taking more than a couple quarters to get signed and get to agreement. There's a lot of back and forth going on, and I think you need at least 3 to 6 months in advance, especially if you're unhappy with the current agreement and want to make some changes. And hopefully, you know, based on what we're doing on steps 1 through 4, you've got what you need to be able to negotiate from a position of strength.
And Ray, what's the biggest mistake you see customers making when it comes to negotiating or renegotiating their maintenance contracts?
I think customers forget that the sales rep on the other side isn't working for them. and I say that in a way that's different, because the sales reps have a total account value that they're looking at, and that's basically the number they expect to grow the SAP account over the next 3 to 5 years. And by confiding in them so much in terms of your product strategy, your roadmap, you're setting expectations in their minds as to where you're going to be and what your spend levels are. Now, you want to do that if you've got a strategic partnership in place, but you got to keep in mind that the incentives are not aligned in your favor. Incentives are really designed for the sales rep to make their number, and sometimes you got to keep some surprises out there to kind of grease the deal or to make sure that you've got some leverage in the deal. So I think some of the biggest mistakes we've seen customers do is talk about their future roadmaps and plans and set false expectations of what your future spend is, which then leads to pressure on the sales rep who's forecasted a number of what you're going to be spending, and that leads to a lot of misperceptions and a lot of difficulty in terms of ratcheting down numbers in terms of, you know, new licenses or maintenance fees.
Right. So can you tell us what you're seeing in terms of what are some of the types of deals customers are getting these days?
Well, as everybody knows, each deal is customer specific, but I can share with you some trends that we're seeing. I mean, some customers are seeing some movement in terms of credit towards licenses, especially shelfware and products they're never going to use, towards another set of licenses that they might use or have some potential. I see a lot of customers that are still holding off in terms of signing their maintenance agreements and waiting to see if things are going to change, especially with what's happening with Sugen and the KPIs, as to, you know, what levels of increases may occur and what will they need to do with their contract strategies going forward. I also see some customers that are, you know, consolidating some of their other software contracts with other vendors, and by doing that, they're freeing up some money for new spend. And of course, with any new spend, you're getting a lot more if you're able to spend money, you know, whether it's bundles in terms of more licenses for what you'd normally get, or, you know, different sets of, you know, training credits, education credits that come out there. So if you've got money to spend, then you're definitely seeing some deals. If you don't have any money to spend, you are definitely seeing the sales reps take their time as they're prioritizing, you know, once again, total account value over other things.
Very interesting. And are you seeing anyone, Ray, just get fed up and really just start really seriously looking at third-party maintenance, and who are they going to?
Well, since Rimini Street's announcement of third-party maintenance last year, I think people are waiting for, you know, for Rimini Street to talk about, you know, what customers have been up live or where they are in the process and what's going on. There is a lot of interest in third-party maintenance. I will say that conversations with system integrators, it's very common for them to hear and from their clients whether they're going to offer third-party maintenance. I can say that third-party maintenance comes up in almost every conversation we have with not only just our SAP clients, but in general our ERP clients, because people are really looking at ways to half their cost on maintenance. Now, if you don't know what third-party maintenance is, for those out there, third-party maintenance is basically a third party comes in and provides tax and support and other regulatory requirements and enhancements on the software, and typically for half the cost of the original maintenance. You don't get access to upgrades. You're typically making this move if you have gotten to a very stable point in your software, but it's definitely a way to save money if you're not going to move forward. So,
very good advice, Ray, and hopefully our listeners can take that and maybe save some money and some frustration when they're renegotiating their contracts this year.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Courtney.
Thank you for listening to this SearchSAP.com podcast. Please continue to turn to SearchSAP.com for all your SAP news.